That ball hit deep. Way back. Wells at the ball. Looks up. You can put it on the board. Yes. Who wants the bun?
It's time.
Live from the CG Technology Studio.
Mercy.
In the entertainment capital of the world.
That ball hit high and deep at the wall. He looks up. You can put it on the board. Yes!
It's the T.C. Martin Show.
Yes! 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 History!
It's time to get your daily prescription from the doctor, T.C. Martin.
Call your sons, call your daughters, call your friends, call your neighbors.
The doctor is now in.
Yes! Yes!
To have you here. Here we go. Friday edition. Happy Friday to you. T.C. Martin Show, Fox Sports Radio, 98.9 FM, 1340 AM, and of course streaming live, tcmartinshow.com and lvsportsnetwork.com. Today, we talk a little coaches versus cancer. Lon Kruger, the former UNLV coach, and of course 8 seasons now at Oklahoma. Good friend of the program. Good friend of everybody. Chairman of the Coaches versus Cancer National Council, and of course the founder of the Las Vegas Golf Classic, which will be taking place Monday and Tuesday at Shadow Creek in Southern Highlands. Lon Kruger will join us a little bit later on. And I'm going to talk to Lon, obviously, about the golf event. Great fundraiser, as you know, 12 years here in Las Vegas, and they do a fantastic job raising money. They're going to eclipse over $5 million in raising money for Coaches versus Cancer. So we'll talk to Lon about that, but I want to talk to Lon about who are the best or maybe worst college coaches that will be golfing. You know, I want to see who's got game, who doesn't have game.
Well, you know, I went to the event a couple of years ago at the MGM, the little party that they had after. Fantastic food, by the way.
I thought you were going to tell me that you caddied for somebody.
No, but my guess, based on who I saw, I'm going to guess Greg Campy of the University of Oakland is not a good golfer.
You don't think so?
I don't think so.
I'm not sure if I saw him on the list.
Oh, he was here a couple years ago.
I remember that when he was here, yeah.
I love him. I love him and his squad in the overs.
He liked that.
During the basketball season, yeah. But I'm guessing he's not a very good golfer.
The Golden Grizzlies.
Yes.
Of Oakland, by the way.
University of Oakland.
Yeah, University of Oakland.
In there Oakland, Michigan.
Absolutely.
Suburb of Detroit.
The Golden Grizzlies.
Yeah.
There you go.
He's been their coach forever.
A long time, right? And he was here, remember, a few years ago at the Mandalay Bay for the Vegas 16.
Which actually only had eight teams.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Yeah,
I think Chattanooga was in that one. I don't even know.
Yeah, Oakland was there.
I wish that would have stuck around because that was a really cool concept. I like that.
All right, NBA playoffs. We will talk about that tonight. We got game number two tonight between the Bucks and the Raptors. And we'll talk about last night's game as the Warriors come storming back for a 114-111 victory. Marco D'Angelo in the house, Wager Talk, our horse racing guru, expert, owner, extraordinaire, and I can't even think of what else Marco is famous for. He's got a laundry list of things. What's going on, my friend?
Busy week. Got a horse race with no possible Triple Crown on the line because we don't have the top three horses from the Derby here. They all taking the week off.
So with all that being said, first time in 23 years that this has happened where the Kentucky Derby winner is not participating in the Preakness. Total letdown here. Should we even watch this race, Marco? I know if you're a diehard horse fan, that's fine. But what do you think the ratings are going to be like?
The ratings are probably not going to be good, but I can tell you, TC, what it's done is made this a very competitive race. And if you like gambling and you like making big scores, this has the earmark for a big payday because there's going to be they're evenly matched, and you look at the morning line, you know, you got a 5-2 favorite and a 4-1 shot next, and then everybody's, you know, there's a couple 6-1s and a lot of double-digit horses in here that have a legitimate shot. And I'll be telling you about two of them that are double digits that are going to be major players for me.
So obviously it loses a little bit of luster with the Preakness because every year, I mean, most of the time, just about all the time, the Preakness has that luster of the Kentucky Derby winner. Sometimes the Belmont Stakes loses a little luster if we have a different winner from the Preakness to the Kentucky Derby. So just looking ahead 3 weeks from Saturday, where do we stand with the Belmont? Is that something that's really irrelevant now, or does that really depend on even this race comes out spectacular? Yeah. The Belmont's probably going to lose some luster too, right?
It's going to definitely lose luster. as you said, it becomes just another race, unfortunately. You know, you look at the crowd in the sports books for the Derby, it's huge. Then you look at the crowd for the Preakness, as you said, you still have that hope of a Triple Crown winner, not this year, but then the Belmont when there's nothing, it's just like a normal Saturday in at the sports book. It's not anything special.
Here's a weird reference, but similar this is, when you start the NCAA tournament, when you've got everybody involved, that Thursday and Friday is just crazy. But then the following weekend, it's still exciting for us basketball junkies, but it definitely tails down itself because people are just not that excited anymore. They some teams lost, that sort of thing. That's kind of what it feels like to me a little bit.
Yeah, magnified with horse racing because this is a sport that is – once a year has its excitement, and then you'll get some excitement again when they have the Breeders' Cup later in the season. But, yeah, it's a shame for horse racing. They love to have that potential for the Triple Crown, get the excitement, get the spotlight on it. The only way that you could actually, and I don't think you'll get it, is if Country House would show back up for the Belmont and Maximum Security would show up. And then you could bill it as the grudge match, you know, and that would be a way to spin it, but it ain't going to happen.
All right, so speaking of those two horses, Maximum Security refused to race. Gary West, his owner, a little sour grapes, and we talked about that the 2 days after when we had you on last time. Country House wins the race, and last time that you were here, that was at Monday. It was like, well, he's about to get sick. Did he ever get sick? Did he ever have that cold, cough, flu symptom? Did he get any Sudafed? What happened? Did he get a shot? What happened?
They just backed him off, and that was a polite way of getting him out of this race. You know, maybe he did cough a couple times, but this horse is not going to win the Triple Crown. He's not good enough to do that, and they feel, why race him back in, you know, 2 weeks? So we'll see where they go with him, where he shows up next, how soon he resurfaces. And then on the same token, if he came and ran bad in the Preakness, it's going to discredit him, you know, a little bit for the Derby win because it's already got an asterisk because he was placed the winner. But, you know, there's the money you can make now, and there's also the money after racing when you go to the breeding shed and stuff. So they might be trying to protect that record a little bit as well.
Did you say he maybe coughed a couple times?
Yeah.
Dave Kochan coughs every 5 minutes. He's fine to run. Let's go.
Yeah. It's, you know, they're being overly cautious for sure. But Bill Mott, he's a good horseman. He's one of the guys I like in the business, and he's been in it forever, and he takes the best care of the horses, so we'll trust his judgment there.
All right, so let's talk about Gary West, the owner of Maximum Security. Now, today news comes out that he's offered up a multi-million dollar challenge. West said he would pay each of those horses $5 million if Country House, War of Will, Long Range Toddy, and Bodie Express finish ahead of Maximum Security in the next race, and he'll pay them through the end of the year. What is this all about? What kind of nonsense? Is he just trying to steal some thunder here before the Preakness? I mean, this guy won't stop. And I understand how sad and mad he is about the way everything went down, because obviously, like we talked about, Maximum Security was the best horse in the Kentucky Derby. But here we go again.
Gary West has been in the horse racing business forever. I've never seen him act like this. He took his ball and went home, didn't go to the Preakness. Bring the horse to the Preakness and, you know, pound everybody in the Preakness and then, you know, stand on your pedestal and, you know, and brag about the horse. Would a match race like that draw attention to horse racing? Yes. You know, and from that standpoint, just because it would be a circus atmosphere, I would love to see it. Anything that draws eyes to the sport of horse racing, for me as a fan, but even more so, I'm in the business, I would love to see that. And I think it's a pretty safe bet that the horses involved, he would be okay with in that challenge. Country House isn't going to beat him. No way. The only horse out of that group I think that would have a shot of beating him would be War of Will. He looked to be making a move when he was trying to push through that hole, and then he moved to the outside, cut him off, banged into him. We will see. If they race somewhere down the road, if War of Will races big here, we might see him in the Belmont. Then If I'm Gary West, I would send my horse to the Belmont and don't duck him. Go where the horses are.
And this is a little bit more than talk as far as Gary West is concerned. He actually wants the owners of the other horses to put up a $5 million stake here on the head-to-head result. And West said he would donate any winnings to the Permanently Disabled Jockeys Fund and would still make a donation to the fund if no owners take him up on the challenge here. So is he trying to say that it would just be a match race with those horses, or would they fill out a field of 8 to 10 to 12 horses and have them in? What's he talking about?
The way that you just read it to me, it's those horses that were involved. And he's trying to say, and this is his way of, with his lawsuit that he's going to go with, the only thing he has to try to overturn it was that it wasn't going to change the outcome of the race. That's what he's trying to say. Those horses weren't going to beat him that day, and they shouldn't have done it if they didn't feel. There is a line in the provisions if you think that that it didn't change the outcome of the race. So this would go to his case saying, hey, look, here we did. We went match race against them.
You're a horse owner. Would you participate in something like this? Would you take his bait with this situation, or would you just say you're out of your mind?
If I got an inferior horse, I would definitely say you're out of your mind. If I thought my horse could beat him, and you're putting up that kind of money, that would be very tempting. But I think all of those horses know that they can't. And the crazy part of it is $5 million is $2 million more than the purse actually was for the Kentucky Derby. The Kentucky Derby purse is $3 million.
Right, right. You know. Marco D'Angelo joined us talking a little Preakness Stakes. We'll talk NBA with you, too, as well here. But let's finish up on the Preakness Improbable with Bob Baffert, the favorite at 5-2. Give us your thoughts on this horse and the rest of the field. And the good thing is, this is a legitimate field here. It should be a competitive race and probably set up for some nice payouts. And I love the Preakness normally because we're dealing with a lot less horses than the crowded Kentucky Derby. I mean, 20 horses, that's a nightmare. You know, when you get to 12, 13 horses, now we got a legitimate horse race.
Okay, now I'm going to give you a couple stats of history in the Preakness. The Preakness is the most formful race of the three races. And why that is, one, first of all, favorites have cashed in 140. This is the 144th running. 51% of the time, the favorites have won the Preakness. That's extremely high. The national average is around 36 to 38% that favorites win races on a given day. The reason that is also horses that come out of the Derby and run in the Preakness have fared very well. But we got an asterisk this year. The three best horses from the Derby, finish-wise, are not here. So this is one of the first chances. There's only been four horses since 2000 that won the Preakness that did not race in the Kentucky Derby. But again, that's because you got the best horses that ran in the Derby. They're on the Triple Crown Trail. They come to the Preakness, and they score again. We don't have that this year. Improbable as the favorite. He's the favorite by default. There's nobody else in here to step forward. He finished fourth in the Derby, placed fourth. I can't make an excuse for him. And you know I was high on Improbable in the Derby. The only excuse that you can possibly give him, because he got a perfect trip, but did he not like the mud? Now, he did race in the mud at Arkansas, but in that race, his trip was wide the whole race. So he wasn't getting as much mud thrown in his face as he got in the Derby. He was surrounded by horses the entire race, sitting fifth. And I think that might have bothered him. Fast track, dry track on Saturday, he has a license to reverse form. So you can't leave him off your ticket. But, TC, I'm going to give you two long shots that are closers. The first one is Bourbon War, the number two horse. This is a horse, and they're making an equipment change on him. They're putting blinkers on him for the first time. Anytime my trainer put blinkers on a horse, that was to get the horse's attention and have him moving forward off the gate. This is a horse that comes from way back, so I expect him to be a little bit closer in this race because of the blinkers. Also, he comes out of that Florida Derby. He missed the Kentucky Derby by just a couple points. He finished fourth in the Florida Derby. He needed to finish second in that race to get into the Derby. We know how good that race ended up being. Maximum Security came out of that race. Bodie Express came out of that race. Code of Honor came out of that race, finished third, placed second. So that was the best prep race. He finished fourth, only 3/4 of a length behind Code of Honor. So I expect him to race big. But the other intriguing horse is Owendale, and it's a two-part story. This is a horse that closes big. If you go back and look at his Lexington race, he went into the last turn sitting eighth. He come out of the turn on top. He made one big swooping move, looked like the other horses were standing still when he went around those horses. Now, here's the interesting part to it. Brad Cox, the trainer, has another horse in this race, and it's the three horse.
Got a rabbit.
The three wasn't eligible for this race. He didn't make the sustaining payments for the Preakness, so he had to make the sustaining supplemental entry of $150,000 to get into this race. Do they think he has a chance, or did Brad Cox get the other owner to maybe pay that stud fee and give the other owners a free roll in the Preakness, knowing that that horse is on the front end? And if you got a closer, what you want is a fast pace, an honest pace, and with Warrior's Charge in the race, he's going to be guaranteed of that fast pace. So I think it really does set up for the closers in this race, and that's why I like Owendale and Bourbon War. You can't forget our old buddy Win-Win-Win is a closer, and he is putting blinkers on for the first time as well. So you've got three closers that I think are going to have the race set up for him. The other horse that should get a trip is the 12 horse, another Twist of Fate, and that is a horse that's going to come out of the outside. He is a speed horse, but he doesn't need to be on the front. So I think what you'll see is the three speed horses will be out there. He'll drop over to the rail, sit about fourth. He'll have the first run at those front runners and get a jump on the closers. But I don't know if he can hold the closers off deep stretch, but I think he will be the horse that actually will get the lead first after the race is, you know, in that last turn.
You know, another Twist of Fate is 6-1, but 0-3 on the dirt. Race over at Golden Gate on the synthetic surface and has great success. Does that scare you at all that this horse is winless on the dirt?
Not that he's winless, because he did. It's not like he backed up. He still raced good on those other races. Remember, when he left racing Golden Gate, that's not the best quality of horses. So he did go up in class in those other races and raced, didn't embarrass himself in those races and earned his trip to here. And I think he's tailor-made for the style of the Preakness in a way this race is going to unfold.
I got a funny story to tell you here. So I have a little shout-out to a loyal listener out there, Linda Liu. Now, Linda is a diehard horse racing fan, actually has friends who are owners back east, actually in New York. And she hit the trifecta, hit over $3,000 last week. Now, whether it was by default or whatever, so she's very happy. Saw her today, and I said, you got a winner for me because I know you're hot. She and you know what she said? She said the 2 and the 5. She said, your two horses, you know, Bourbon War and Owendale. And here you come, saying exactly that, putting a stamp on it. I was all set to go to the book anyway, and now you just reaffirmed that. You and Linda Liu are on it. This is amazing.
I don't know. Maybe if we'd have a podcast, Linda Liu and Marco.
There you go,
for the horse racing.
There you go. She would love that. So that's outstanding stuff. All right, so is that your choice? Is that what you're giving us?
Are you giving us
2, 5, 13? How are you playing the race?
I'm going to be putting those two horses and Improbable on top, and then I'm going to spread them out with some exactas. I will have another Twist of Fate, you know, on underneath. I will have Win-Win-Win. So those are my 5 key horses. And on the bottom end, I will have War of Will on there. I think War of Will is going to get bet too much. I think that the horse, too many people are going to react to what they saw in the Derby and overbet him. He can hit the ticket, but I don't think he wins it.
All right, and guess what? We will have good weather at Pimlico tomorrow. It's going to be nice. All right, so looking forward to that. Post time at 3:48 tomorrow, so looking forward to the Preakness. And like I said, you know, hey, we don't have a Triple Crown, you know, winner. It's going to happen this year. We don't have the winner from the Kentucky Derby, but you make a great case, Marco. This is still some good TV watching here and a chance to make some money as well, too. Should be a competitive race. All right, real quick, let's talk a little NBA playoffs. So tonight we've got the Bucks trying to win game number 2 here again. The Bucks 9-1 in the playoffs. Just that one loss that they had in game one against the Celtics. But other than that, not only have they won, they've covered, they've destroyed teams usually. They were not at their best in game one the other night against Toronto. Kyle Lowry just came out of nowhere. I can't see Kyle Lowry having that kind of great shooting night again from beyond three. But look what the Bucks did. They closed that game on a 10-0 run. Brooke Lopez was out of his mind. The Bucks did not shoot a high percentage. And when you look at the Bucks, and they did this against Boston when they took care of business with Detroit and swept them, they had like 6 days off. Same thing here, 6 days off, and then they got rolling. Are you buying into the theory that, okay, once the Bucks get rolling, they're good to go? Or do you think there's something with Toronto here that they played so well that they can, you know, win tonight?
Well, history on Toronto, you know, they don't win game ones, and then they bounce back. But I look at this one, and unfortunately, I was one of those guys that had Toronto the other night. I had them at plus
That's
7.
That's a hard luck loser,
yeah,
man.
And I last night I had Portland, and I started seeing flashbacks. I'm sitting at the bar. You know, I had to put my chicken wings down for a minute, TC. It got a little scary.
Never put down the chicken wings, Marco.
But you look at Milwaukee, as you said, they're red hot in the playoffs. But this has been all year. When they've been in this price range of minus 3.5 to 9.5, they're 26-13 this year against the spread. When they're in this total of 210 to 219.5, they're 12-3 against the spread. And Toronto's not been a good team in playing with revenge. This is a team that's just 26-42 the last three seasons when playing with revenge. My problem here is I don't like the way Toronto's tailing shooting-wise. Their last four games, it's like if you want to look at a horse racing and look at the buyer speed figures, they're going the wrong direction. 48%, then 43%, then 38%, and 37% in the last game. And over the last three games, Milwaukee, and that's the last two against Boston, and then here, 37, 31, and 37 defensively. They're playing great ball. And what you saw in this game in the fourth quarter, and I think this is going to be the telling tale of this series, Kawhi Leonard looked tired in those final 5-6 minutes of the fourth quarter. When he's not on the floor, they lose points. You saw how the runs came for Milwaukee when he was off the floor.
We saw that in the last series as well, too,
yeah,
against Philly.
This is a guy that he's having to do it on both ends of the court. If he takes off on one side of the court to try to save energy, then they're going to get easy buckets inside if he's not playing at full throttle defensively. I think Milwaukee's too big, too good at home. It's big inside. They're getting too many points. I'm going to go ahead and go with Milwaukee tonight. I'm laying the points.
Laying 6.5, total 217. Got a thought?
The total, you know.
Right on it, maybe?
I think the number's right where it should be, and this is going to be one of those ones that depends on what type of game it is in that final 3 minutes and how many fouls we're getting. But I didn't see an edge either way on the total.
Let's look at tomorrow's game. Now with the Warriors traveling to Portland, game number 3, Warriors up 2-0 in this series. Your thoughts about game 3?
Yeah, they're making you pay dearly if you want to bet Portland in this one, because everybody knows the stat of these home teams coming home, 0-2 down. They play well. The game line is 2.5. The first quarter, I think, is 2.5, and then the first half line is 2. You're paying like the full price for this, plus the 2.5. They're saying that home court is worth 4.75 in this. It's not. This is a little bit too much. But if there's a game for Portland to win, this is the one. But, man, I could see this Golden State team. And the one stat that sticks out to me, Portland gave them their best punch, and Golden State just kind of like, you know, went like, you know, said we can, you know, stove it off, didn't, you know, came back, won the game in the fourth quarter. 18 of 39 for 3 points for Portland last night. Golden State, just 9 of 29. That is not going to happen again. And yet, Golden State still won the game with that big outlier on the stat sheet there. You know, I don't know that I want to go against the 0-2 team, but I lean to Golden State right now with the inflated number, but what I do like is the under. And there's a stat on Portland, and this is over the last 3 years. If they're coming off a loss of 6 points or less and are playing at home off of that loss, they're 18-5 to the under. And if Portland has a chance in this game, to me, it's more in a low-scoring game than getting in a track meet with Golden State, because I don't think they have enough scorers to stay with Golden State in a track meet. So if look at the under if you want to look at the total there. And if I make a play, that's probably where I'm at.
All right, and we'll take another hard look at this game a little bit later on, as well as tonight's game. Marco, appreciate you hanging out, standing by, and giving us a breakdown on the Preakness and also the NBA. Good luck tomorrow, my friend, and we'll touch base next week.
Yeah, and if we cash this, I'll be looking for Linda Lou.
Absolutely correct. Putting you guys together. There it is. And she's hot right now, and there you go. All right, Marco D'Angelo, you can catch him at Wager Talk and give out the promo, man.
All right, you can pick up my Preakness package over at Wager Talk. And last year, we turned $302 in the Preakness into $1,159. And I think that was with Justify winning.
Right.
We were able to make a nice score. And I think we got a bigger payday on tap. So head over to Wager Talk and check it out.
And we always remember looking at Lee from 2 years ago in the Derby. Brian Benowitz will always remind us of that. Don't forget that. Thanks, Marco. Appreciate it. All right, Lon Kruger, he joins us coming up next. We talk coaches versus cancer, a little hoop, and a whole lot more coming your way. Friday edition of the T.C. Martin Show on Fox. Friday, getting ready for the weekend. We got NBA playoffs coming your way tonight and tomorrow. Major League Baseball, big series with the Red Sox and the Astros as well. Perfect time for you to get on over to one of the fantastic CG Technology Sportsbooks. Get the mobile app if you don't have it already. So easy to use. In-game wagering options, everything that you need. With the CG Technology mobile app, it takes you about 5 minutes to get all signed up, so make sure you do that. Go on over to the Palms, to the Silverton, the Venetian Palazzo, the Hard Rock, the Tropicana, and the Cosmopolitan of Las Vegas. It's the CG Technology mobile app. It's betting made easy. And if you're hanging around, those great sports books, man, great place to watch and wager on the games as well, too, especially at the Cosmopolitan of Las Vegas. NBA playoffs tonight. We just touched upon the Warriors and Portland last night. That was game number 2 in Oakland. Phenomenal game. Really great, entertaining game. And what we saw with the Warriors, we've seen in the past, where they get a little lethargic, a little careless with the basketball. They were a turnover machine for a while, close to 20 turnovers last night. And Portland got in front, and people figured, okay, Portland, and we talked about it on yesterday's show, that we knew Portland was probably going to be in trouble in game 1, coming off of that 7-game emotional series victory at Denver. No, you know, traveling straight to Oakland, no practice, no shoot around for game number 1. And game number 2, they'll have a little time to get, you know, recuperated. And they came out very, very nice. They had a 15-point lead at halftime. They were up 17 in the contest. And Steve Kerr challenged the Warriors at halftime. Warriors came battling back, and then they gave up a lead, and then they were down 8 with 4.5 minutes to go in the contest. And then Steph Curry, the Warriors took over. Portland D was terrible. Golden State was 9-for-29 from beyond the 3-point arc, and it still wasn't good enough. Steph Curry, 37 points last night, 11-for-22 from the field, and a perfect 11-for-11 at the free throw line. So the Warriors take a 2-0 lead, and they're playing every other day. So you got not much rest here whatsoever. Golden State, 31-4 in the postseason when Steph Curry scores 30 or more. Wow. That's all I got to say. And a Kevin Durant update, you know, real quick. You saw, if you watched the game last night, you saw Kevin Durant hanging in the tunnel, greeting his teammates at halftime and also after the game. He will definitely miss games 3 and 4. And today, Steve Kerr said that injury is a lot worse than they thought. So Durant could miss this entire series, maybe even part of the finals. So, you know, the Warriors want to get this series over with as quickly as possible, hoping that the Bucks-Raptors series goes a while so Kevin Durant can get rested and he can be ready to play for the finals. And of course, we're saying that like the Warriors are going to get to the finals, which they probably are. All right. Don't forget, tonight, Milwaukee, game number 2, taking on Toronto, and that game is at 5:30. Okay, let's talk about the Coaches versus Cancer. Just a fantastic event. As you know, in their 12 years, they've done a fantastic job raising nearly $5 million. And the chairman of the Coaches versus Cancer National Council and the founder of the Las Vegas Golf Classic is our good friend Lon Kruger. Lon is joining us today, and he's getting ready for the events that will start on Sunday. And then don't forget Monday and Tuesday at Shadow Creek and Southern Highlands. It's Coaches versus Cancer. How you doing, Lon?
Doing great. Appreciate the opportunity to be with you.
Absolutely. Great talking with you again. So, last time we had you on, we were talking a lot about Kevin taking the job here at UNLV. I know he's had some chance to settle in a little bit. We got a chance to talk with him a few weeks back as well, too. So now that guys have had some time to look at the situation, him moving back to Vegas, what are your thoughts about this?
Yeah, they're excited. They've hit the ground running, and DJ Hufflebuerger is a terrific coach, and will do a great job in getting out in the community and meeting people and being accessible, and the whole staff. Kev's been super impressed with the basketball staff, and Desiree Francois, the AD, has just got a super group of people assembled around her. So it's going to be exciting to watch them grow and develop and get this program where it needs to be.
And I know we talked to you on the day that TJ was announced here in Las Vegas, and he gave you a lot of credit for being a mentor to him back in the day. And I know that you think very, fondly of him as well, too, and obviously Kevin does to join his staff. So talk a little bit about that dynamic and what you think TJ will actually bring to this UNLV program.
TJ's he's a smart guy, number one. He gets it. He understands that the program really is belongs to the community. It belongs to everyone. He'll reach out and he'll develop a lot of good partnerships and not afraid to ask for help. And but most importantly, just a good person that does things for the right reasons. Very sharp basketball mind. A good person, good family, and they'll fit very well into the Vegas community.
Lon, we've been hearing about some college basketball rule changes, and I guess they're going to vote on this coming up next month. Give us your thoughts. We're talking about backing up the three-point line to the international distance, a couple other rule changes as well, too. Are you in favor of moving the three-point line back from where it currently is?
Yeah, I am, actually. I think it'll get a little more balanced. Right now the game's becoming so tilted toward the three-pointer, which isn't all bad, but all of a sudden now the low post, not much low post play, but hopefully it'll space the floor a little bit, create a little bit more mid-range to the game, a little bit more opportunity to drive and kick, but hopefully that will pass, and I think it will be good for the game.
That also create the lane up a little bit more too, don't you think?
Hope so. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, anything to make people stretch a little bit more defensively, might open a little bit more inside.
Now, for a guy like yourself who has recruited some fantastic three-point shooters and love getting those guys to shoot it from beyond the arc, I guess it doesn't matter to you if they back it up or not, right?
Exactly. For the guys that can really shoot it, it won't make a big difference. So the ones that will make a difference are the marginal guys that shoot 30 to 25%. I think it was becoming a case where too many of those guys were shooting threes, and that, I think, again, took away the low post play. So I think it'll make people get the ball inside a little bit more. It'll make people be a little bit more selective in determining, actually who does take the three-point attempts.
When you watch the Warriors and you see Klay Thompson, specifically Steph Curry, you see those three-point sharpshooters, people, compared one of your guys, your former guys, Trae Young, to those guys. And we've seen Trae kind of really, start to get it. And, especially towards the end of last season, give us your thoughts as you watch him in the NBA. How good a player can he be?
Had a terrific rookie season. Started out really well and then got very good in the last half of the season. Trae's very skilled, very fast with the ball, and the NBA game being an open court situation really suits him well. It was great to see him shooting the ball well. Then, Buddy Hield from just 3 years ago,
of course,
is as good a three-point shooter as there is in the league. So we've got two guys there that really benefit from the rules of the NBA. And then, of course, you go back a little farther, Blake Griffin from Oklahoma, is a guy that can kind of play regardless of what the rules are. He's a terrific athlete and ambassador for the game and certainly for Oklahoma.
Do you got another one of those guys in Norman that we're going to start hearing about this year that can fall into that same realm as being a great scorer?
We've got a good group coming in. In fact, one of Las Vegas guys, Jalen Hill,
right,
will be there 3 weeks from now. So really excited about Jalen Hill and his family. Terrific addition to our program, and excited to get to work with him.
All right, Lon Kruger joined us. 8 years at Oklahoma, and of course, the former UNLV coach, chairman of the Coaches versus Cancer National Council, founder of the Las Vegas Classic, and that will get underway Monday and Tuesday at Shadow Creek and Southern Highlands. So let's talk about this fantastic event, Lon. Always love touching base with you about this. Your goal is to raise over $1 million net this year, which I'm sure you guys are going to do. It'll be great. Now it'll put you over $5 million since the inception back in 2008. To talk about how you've seen this thing grow, and now it's really become part of the fabric of Las Vegas. And we know that Las Vegas has always been a great destination for not, you know, just everybody, but specifically now college basketball with the tournaments and then the NBA Summer League. But this event, too, has got a signature event around this time every year.
It really has. The first year, I believe we donated like $35,000, which we thought was a pretty good deal. And but the coaches, they've bought into it. The sponsors have bought into it. Kelby Kravenhoff with Sanford Health out of Sioux Falls, South Dakota, you know, came on board last year. This will be the first year of a five-year arrangement at $500,000 per year. So that's $2.5 million over 5 years. MGM Grand, they've been unbelievably great in hosting everyone when they come to town. Again, just it's about sponsorship. It's about coaches from around the country that bring in their boosters. We've got like 18 groups. Foursomes from Oklahoma that come out. Dane Altman brings three foursomes from Oregon. Roy Williams brings a group from North Carolina. Bruce Weber brings four groups from Kansas State. So it really is at least 60 foursomes over the course of 2 days, 30 foursomes per course at Shadow Creek in Southern Highlands. So they've got great facilities here at the MGM and then two great golf courses and raising money for a terrific cause. So it's a good 2 or 3 days.
And a lot of that money stays in the community, right, Lon?
It does. Yeah, absolutely. American Cancer Society does such a great job, and Coaches versus Cancer is an arm under them, and everyone's been touched by cancer. So anytime we encourage people to get on board and spread the word and help raise dollars, it benefits everyone.
All right, so you mentioned, you know, some of the coaches. I'd like to kind of go over some of the guys, and I want to get your opinion here. And I want you to kind of grade their golf games. But before I get into that, is there a little competitive fire with a lot of these guys? I know they're here to have a good time and everything, but like you said, they're getting their foursomes together. Is there a little some friendly wagers that are going on outside here? Or, you know, what's going on with that?
They notice who wins in the end.
Okay.
I'll put it that way. It's not a case. Certainly, they're here for the right reasons. But yeah, they assemble those foursomes, and I've heard some pretty high expectations. If you don't deliver 1 year, you might not get invited. Back the next. So yeah, the pressure's on, but in a very playful way and in a very positive way.
All right. So I want you to kind of be our handicapper, our odds maker here, so to speak. Okay, I want to ask you about some of these guys and tell me what kind of golf game they got. And tell I want you to tell like it is, Lon. I don't want you to sugarcoat
it
and hold it back. Okay.
All right. Absolutely.
All right. Let's start with Dana Altman.
Very good golfer. Yeah, very good. In fact, when he was on our staff at Kansas State back in the late '80s, he didn't play golf.
Okay.
He's taking the game up late, and Dana will bring he'll bring an 8-9 handicap end of the weekend, which anytime you can do that, it's a pretty good game.
Yeah, out of Oregon, like you said, that time with you. Roy Williams, how's Roy's game? I know he's been playing a long time, and he plays it quite often, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does. Quite frankly, he's a little health issues. You know, the knees have gone sideways a little bit, but Roy was a 3, 4, 5 handicap back in a few years ago, and doesn't quite play to that today, but really good golfer and doesn't mind competing.
All right, what about Jim Boeheim?
Again, like Roy back in the day.
Yeah.
You know, and I say that about all of us, I guess.
Yeah.
That's not good, you know. We're all getting to that point where we say back in the day. But now Jim was, he was a single-digit, low single-digit back in the early days and still plays well.
All right, so you talk about a couple of fiery competitors. I want to get your thought about Frank Martin. Okay, is he as crazy on the golf course as he is on the sideline?
He has a good time on the golf course. Probably has spent most of his time though in the office.
Okay.
You know, as compared to the golf course. So he doesn't play much golf, but has a great time when he's out here.
All right. Bruce Weber.
Bruce actually doesn't play.
Okay.
Bruce is one of the coaches that comes out and has a great time with his foursome. He brings his boosters, but rides around with them, and I'm sure he offers some coaching hints.
What about Larry Kostolyak? I mean, is there even clubs that are big enough for him? Guys, it's 7 foot.
He has to get them custom, that's for sure, but a good player.
Is he a good player?
He hits the ball a long way, he's a good player.
All right, so give me somebody else here that you think is a very good player here. Maybe could have made a second living at playing golf.
Yeah, well, Fred Hoiberg is joining us this year. You know, he's been with the Bulls, so
yeah.
He was at Iowa State a few years ago, and this will be his first trip to the event. So excited to have Fred joining us. And a good player, a real good player, 5'6" handicap. And today, now back in the day with him, it's today. So he does a good job.
How about this guy named Kevin Kruger? What kind of game does he have?
Kevin doesn't play a lot, but he hits a long way.
Okay.
He enjoys it, and his expectations aren't real high. So he enjoys it more than worrying about it, but has a good time out there.
So there are those guys out there, Lon, that are golf guys that come here to play, and like you said, there's a good amount that they're the clubhouse guys, right? They want to kick back and have a good time indoors, right?
Absolutely, absolutely, no doubt about that. Everyone has a great time. And again, they don't lose focus on why we're here, because again, it's about the we have a couple survivors at the reception Sunday night, and they tell their story. It's a good reminder as to why we're here and why the coaches across the country do what they do. In the 25 years of Coaches versus Cancer, raised over $120 million throughout the country. So it's a good group of guys that using their platform, if you will, to increase awareness and raise dollars.
All right. Well, your work along with Barbara's, your wife, fantastic. I know people in Las Vegas, as we talk about it all the time, we have you on. They miss you, and it's great that you're back here at least every year. And then Kevin's back here as part of the Rebels staff, so that's great. Congratulations with this, Lon. It's, like I said, a long-standing tradition here in Las Vegas. You do a fantastic job, and I look forward to seeing you on Monday myself.
Appreciate it. Look forward to it. Thank you.
Thanks, Lon. There he is, Lon Kruger, Oklahoma, 8 years. Continue to turn out some great players, some great teams, 2 Final Fours, as you know. The chairman of the Coaches versus Cancer's National Council, founder of the Las Vegas Golf Classic, taking place Monday and Tuesday, Shadow Creek and Southern Highlands, raising money for a fantastic cause. As you know, been around since 2008, and they're going to eclipse the $5 million mark after this weekend. It's going to be good. All right, we come back. We'll touch a little bit more. Major League Baseball, NBA, T.C. Martin Show on Fox. Friday, get ready for the weekend. Busy, busy week here. A lot of craziness, a lot of great stuff, a lot of great guests during the course of this week. Reconvene Monday at 3 o'clock. And, we've talked about the Preakness. We've talked about the NBA playoffs. Big Major League Baseball weekend with Red Sox taking on the Astros. And let's not forget, we got the PGA Championship. It still is taking me a while to get used to the PGA here in the middle of May. Used to that in August or September like it was back in the day, and especially at Bethpage. At least we got good weather at Bethpage. That's nice. So I know you've been keeping an eye on the leaderboard there, Magnum, and you've been following every Asian golfer back there and pronouncing those names very nicely, by the way.
Yeah, well, I'm good. I mean, what can I say?
I wouldn't go that far, but no, you are good. There's no question.
But, Brooks Koepka, 12 under for the day. Record sets the record for the lowest 36-hole score in major championship history. That guy in the PGA, that's like money in the bank.
Yes.
Because this is now going to be, assuming he doesn't completely self-implode, his third straight, pretty impressive.
No, very, very nice. And
he just smashes the ball, too.
No, very, very, very nice. And I know a lot of people were thinking, okay, Tiger's back. And, there was that wager out there that we had talked about where a better had Tiger winning all 4 majors and even a double down with a big, big, heavy bet as well here last week. Not going to be cashing that ticket. As
no.
Tiger just got off to a bad start yesterday. It even got worse today, didn't it?
Yeah, he. I think he was 5 under. He's 5 under for the
five
tournament.
Over.
5 over. I'm sorry. Yeah. It was 2 over yesterday, 3 over today, and he ran into some trouble. I think the cut moved, so I think that kind of did him in a little bit. But 5 over, not going to get the job done. I think he even birdied the 18th hole, and it still wasn't enough for him. I know they were saying if he had birdied it, but then other things could happen. But yeah, just not a good. I don't know. I mean, I guess maybe he wasn't healthy. Maybe he's not feeling well.
I mean, that was what people were talking about or thinking when he didn't do his last practice round on Wednesday.
Well, and he skipped a bunch of tournaments in between the Masters and this.
Yeah.
I mean, the Masters, and you know, it's funny. I was asked a year ago on another station if he was ever going to win another tournament. And I said he would win the Masters because to me, it seems like the Masters is really the only one where he can go out. I guess depending on where they play at the British, but really the only one where he can go out and he doesn't have to really exert as much energy as he. I mean, this tournament, there was no way he was ever going to win this.
Yeah, yeah. But as we know, he's had success, you know, overseas.
Yeah, like many years ago, he had success at the PGA as well. But I think the course is just too. He's got to really bring it out, and a course like this, and I just don't see.
And no one is saying anything. He's not saying anything about injuries or anything of that nature. So now it just makes you wonder, well, was the Masters a fluke? Well, we just saw the best of Tiger, and that was it. Because for him to, like you said, be well-rested, as we thought, and then come in here and just not be able to perform and, you know, missed a lot of easy shots and, yeah, I mean, when you look at a guy, like you said, what Brooks Koepka is doing compared to where Tiger is, holy moly.
Yeah, but even if Tiger...
Not like this course. I mean, it's a tough course, granted, but not for Koepka, it's not.
Yeah, and I'm always a fan of the British because the British tends to be the one place where guys tend to struggle depending on the weather, the wind. It makes these guys look normal because most of them are... unbelievable golfers.
Yeah, I've never been a fan of watching that. I don't like to see brown grass. And like you said, the weather is a problem. It's always windy, ugly courses. Not a fan. But the PGA, love it, of course.
St. Andrews is beautiful.
Yeah, it's beautiful, I guess. Give me some sunshine. Can we ever have a 75-degree day over there? Never happens.
No. And it's a good thing they don't play out by Newcastle because it's even worse over there.
All right, I want to thank Lon Kruger for joining us today. Coaches versus Cancer. Events starting on Sunday, and then the tournament, like we said, the golf outing on Monday and Tuesday. Don't forget, Las Vegas Aces on the hardwood, Cox Pavilion, the one and only preseason game, 12:30, Cox Pavilion. Go out there and support, and you can hear the call with yours truly on ESPN 1100, 100.9 FM coming your way starting at 12 noon on Sunday. Have yourself a good one. Enjoy. Have a fantastic weekend. Talk to you Monday.